Project. Welcome to the Refuge Project. The Refuge Project is a place to have meaningful conversation in a safe place.
Yeah.
As long as your SD cards work. Man. So we had a banger for y'all, and we had an error on the SD card, and we lost Pastor Hal.
Half of it.
And Pastor Ben and their wives, and they were talking about the transition from one pastor to another, and it was really, really good. And
are we officially giving up on it?
No, we're not officially. We're going to try. We're going
to give it to Adam.
I'm going to give it to Adam. Man, I might even send it to that YouTuber and see what he says. You know what I mean? I
have to contact him. Send him a message.
Yeah, just send him a little DM. Just get him in his DMs.
Yeah.
And what do they call that? What do the kids call it?
Slide in his DMs. Just slide in there. And ask him a techie question.
Yeah, yeah. We have Angie Barella with us today. She is part of our women's ministry. She does a whole lot of different women's ministry here. And we're going to get into her story in a little bit, but she is here, and just feel free at any time you have something you want to talk to us about. She has this look on her face like, oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
She's been saying how scared she is.
Let me pray.
But this is fine. This is not one of those podcasts where we put a lot of pressure on you. We're just here to have fun and share Jesus and doing what we do in between. So
Meaningful conversation.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's a safe place. Look, you're in my office.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, guys, right off the convocation, 2024 Elam Convocation, 35th anniversary. Wow.
Yeah. I'll put claps for that.
Yeah. It was an amazing time. It was one of those things. Like all good things, right? Like you ramp up for it, and then it gets here, and then you work your tail off through it, and then when it's over, you're like,
done.
It's done, and we're happy it happened. But man, we're ready for some rest. I would say, amazing job to all of you guys that was a part of it.
Oh yeah,
James, you killed it. Like you were, every time I seen you, you were running a different direction.
Well, I was walking.
Yeah, it was a fast walk. I mean, serving these different ministers and music and making sure things were coming on and sounded great. My applause to you.
I'll put claps for myself. Look at me.
You made it look easy. And people don't realize that what you guys do up there in that sound booth between the audio and video and live stream. Y'all make it look easy, but it's not as easy as y'all make it look. Yeah. And really, at the end of the day, y'all can make or break a service. It's true. Know? So,
That's why I try to do a good job. Yeah. You know?
Props.
We're all just doing our part. Some people are preaching. Some people are cleaning. I do the sound. That's what I do.
Shout out to Lee.
Lee was Shelly, there for all the services. Shelly was there. My wife did like half of them.
Tara.
She did. Yeah.
Steve Cuellar.
Yep. Steve's up there. Calvin's up there.
Calvin. Yeah, everybody. So shout out to all y'all. Everything that you guys did in the kitchen and serving and all the things. I mean, the whole church, man.
Yeah.
We've just gotten so many like thank you cards and people that were inspired here. They're like, you know, the way our convocation works is that if you pay for the first night, we'll pay for the other three nights, right? It's something these pastors and missionaries and evangelists have been so inspired that they're getting home and now they're writing checks for their full stay.
Oh, wow.
You know, because they're like, man, we want to invest in that. That's how much they got out of it.
Wow.
And then the stories that, you know, our van drivers are getting as they're leaving, you know, going to the different parts of the world. And, man, it's just... It makes it all worth it. You know, it definitely makes it all worth it. And I know a lot of you guys don't get to hear a lot of those things that come in through the office and stuff, but we're really changing lives through the convocation. And because of that, we're changing the world.
Yeah.
Right. So,
and a lot of people in the church.
Yeah. We had, I think we had a bigger group of our church attend this one than we have ever had.
Yeah.
Because.
Probably because my dad up here chastising people for weeks before the thing.
Whatever it takes, man. Shout out to Brother Stacy coming up with the shoes that match the shirt this week.
Don't even tell
Man, looking fly like a white guy.
If he ever does, if he listens to this 3 months from now, driving to Colorado or something, he's going to hate this.
Oh, he was looking sharp, man. I told him Sunday I came up to him. I said, I'm doing a shoe check, Stacy. And then I was just like, but no, I love the more and more that I get to know Brother Stacy, your dad, the more I just fall in love with him and his heart.
And his style.
His style. Yeah. Black dress shoes. White tennies.
That's all you need.
But he showed up with some maroon. Some
red. Yeah, like maroon.
Maroon.
Hey, dudes. Hey, dudes.
Boy, that boy looking nice. It was looking nice.
Everybody's got the dudes these
days.
Yeah,
for sure. For sure. It was good.
Except for me. I'm still
what was y'all, what was y'all's favorite part of the convocation, would you say?
I'll let you go first, Angie.
Your dad.
Oh, man. That was so powerful, wasn't it?
He talks about the loss of a child.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've experienced that.
Yeah.
But who got touched with that was Edith, Sister Edith from Belize,
mm-hmm.
Pastor Eddie.
Right, they just lost
a
child.
They just lost a child.
Yeah.
From someone coming from something like that. This year is 20 years that my son's been gone. I don't say it gets easier. God just gives you that peace, you know. But at the beginning stages, like y'all family, couple of years, right?
Yeah.
But Sister Edith, she was just crying and we were just hugging her. But that's how the healing comes. And when you're in the beginning of the stages of grief like that,
mm-hmm.
all you want to know is why. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's different when we lose them suddenly.
Yeah.
Out of the blue. Compared to if they've been sick for a long time, you know they're gonna. But when it comes suddenly, it's really.
Or if it's a youngster, like, right? If they didn't fulfill their whole life and all those things, and they die at 60, 70, 80, that, you know, they've lived a life. But when they die pre-30 or pre-40, it's just a tough thing.
So right at the beginning of convocation, that was Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Mine was 18, you know. And Sister Edith and Pastor Eddie was just crying, and they need that, you know, because at that point, you just don't know what to say to
Who
them.
Who wasn't crying? If you wasn't crying, you ain't got no feelings.
That's right. And so God, right off the bat, let's just deal with this first.
Yeah.
Because he knows what everybody needs.
So good. I didn't even think about it like that. Like they just put Pastor and Eddie and Sister Edith just that, like, okay, I know. Here it is. I'll give you this fresh word first. Now you can settle into what God's going to do in the rest of your
life.
Deal
with this.
Man, that's so good.
Yes.
That's so good. And I appreciate Stacy because it's not hard. I mean, it's not easy.
Yeah.
Getting up there and talking about something, you know, and we say something so fresh because something like that, it's fresh for years.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that it just goes away after a couple months. So thank you, Brother Stacy, for, you know, being open and he's done a little bit more the last couple years.
Anytime he talks,
oh, man.
You look at me and you get all happy.
I do because I feel him, man. The emotions that he has, I feel it.
Was it Pastor Mark that accidentally said something?
Pastor Stacy?
Yeah, he said that and you looked at me and you went, oh!
Because you know why?
Let's hear it.
Because there's so much, I think, that, and this is just from the outside, and I know that Brother Stacy has really never wanted to be pastor, right? But I think that there's so much wisdom inside of him every time that he talks that maybe we've missed it through the years, that he hasn't shared a lot of that wisdom, and then now that he's getting a little bit older, it's coming out, and I'm just like, oh, that's good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And then the older you get, the more emotional you get. And then when you bring the emotion with the wisdom, there's something powerful about that. Mm. Either for me, for sure, because I'm, the older I get, the more I turn into a teddy baby, oh, yeah. you know, and I'm just over there crying. They're telling some, you know, stupid cat story or whatever, and I'm crying over a dead cat. But I love it. I love it when he talks. Sometimes he talks a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Am I going to say that?
The old teacher side of him comes out.
Uh-huh. You know, it's the Friday stories in the choir room, you know. Whatever.
Story time with Stacy,
right. But I love it, man. I really have come to appreciate your dad and your mom. And you know what's something that's new? He's been really showing a lot of affirmation to your mom on stage over the last year or so, you know, just tell her how beautiful she is and how what a great wife that she had, that he has. And that goes a long ways in relationships that don't get to see that in homes. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of different types of relationships in our church that they didn't get to see a good, healthy relationship, you know, growing up. And when they see that from, you know, I don't want to say elder because me and Stacey are too close to age.
He said, hey, dude, he's retired. They're both retired. That's an old couple.
I mean, he's still young for being retired.
Yeah.
Right? He's not even 60 yet.
That's a good way to put it. He's about to be 60
but he's not yet. I bet you he holds on to that not yet.
He does. I think it's getting him, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But to be able to see that, you know, as people that haven't been able to see it before, Sandra and I have always tried to show loving and put my arm around her and kiss her and, you know, different things like that in the church, just because a lot of people, youth, when we're youth pastors, that was a big thing for us to show affirmation to one another, just so they know what it looked like.
Yeah.
When Pastor Wes said, all right, now turn to the person next to you and look at their backside. And I was just like, oh, yeah, the pastor said so. And I had all these ladies behind us cracking up. And she's just like, oh, man, you embarrassed me so much. I said, hey, pastor said.
You're being a good Christian.
I am. I'm just being obedient. Now turn around, let me see that backside. You know?
No, I'm going to speak for Sandra. I'm going to speak for all the ladies.
But it was a good time, man. The prophetic word to pastor was so good. He preached on it this Sunday.
Yeah.
All the things. What was your favorite part of it?
I like seeing a lot of the pastors that come through. I just like seeing them that I haven't seen in a while. Anytime Kingsley comes through, it's always fun.
Yeah.
I really like...
And walking on water.
Yeah. That was funny. That was fun. I haven't... Chevo come up with his sippy cup.
He
came up to me before they did that. He was like, hey, I got Kingsley's sippy cup. And I said, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And then he went and set it up there like before the service started. So he would just come up and see it. And I said, oh, that's good. But then he went back and took it. And I thought he was chickening out. I was like, what? No, you got to
leave it.
And then I said, it's going to be good. And he goes, no, Pastor Mark wants me to like make a presentation out of it. He's going to call me up. I said, okay, even better.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like hearing him. I like hearing what's his name, Matt Bell, because he's very blunt and just like lots of scripture, just kind of straight to the point. And I like that whole kind of attitude.
Yeah,
he's kind of sassy and sarcastic too, which is fun for me.
Yeah, very very dry.
Very dry.
Yeah,
I like preachers like that a lot of time if they have. You know, some substance in
right.
there,
yeah,
which
yeah.
he usually does. So
yeah.
I enjoy that too. But
I don't know if I would say this was the best one, but we've never had a bad one. You know what I'm saying? And so it's really hard to rank them from year to year to year.
Yeah.
But there was a memorable one in my life, man, some years ago. I wrote 3 checks in the offering one time.
Just kept writing checks.
I just kept writing checks, man, because we didn't even have it in the bank. Like, this is...
You're writing hot checks to the church?
Well, I mean, we had it, but the other bills wasn't going to get paid. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they took up an offering, and then somebody came up and they were just like, God's not done, you know? And people were like... taking wedding rings off and all kinds of stuff. Y'all remember that one?
Yeah.
And I kept writing, and Sandra was just like, what are you doing? I said, man, I feel like God said this is not enough. So I take it, and I wrote three checks, and I didn't know how we were going to pay rent or mortgage the next month. And, you know, I think I preached the message shortly after that, and we put more money in savings the following month than we had all year.
Wow.
You know, and it was just a testimony of being able, first of all, to be obedient to God, you have to be able to hear God.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people, you look at them, you're like, why aren't they obedient? Because they want to be obedient. People want to be obedient to God, but they're not, they don't have their life in a position to hear God. So if you can't hear God, you can't be obedient, right?
That's right, when you don't know his voice.
Yeah. And that's just like Sandra will call one of the boys, you know, and they'll be out on the baseball field or in the park or whatever, mm-hmm. and they never turn around. I holler at them one time, and they're like, because they know their daddy's voice, exactly. right? And that's the way we have to be with God. But the problem a lot of times is that God wants more of a, what is the best word? Kind of a private relationship.
Intimate.
The intimate relationship, and you have to be able to hear God whisper to you, you know?
Sweet
whisper. And you have to be able to be in that position to hear a whisper.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're not in a position to hear a whisper, a lot of times we're going to miss God, and then when we miss God, we're not obedient. And the problem with not being obedient turns out you're being disobedient, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So, anyways, I don't know. That was good.
Yeah, it was really nice.
That was really good.
I liked it.
All right, let's jump right into
Culture Corner.
All right, Angie, go ahead. Give us your freestyle.
This is where we have our guest rap.
Oh, yep. No.
Right
there. I can't rap.
That's cool. You're going to be the first one that's...
Yeah, the first one that didn't do it.
That
Jeez.
Didn't rap.
I'm special.
No, not really. Nobody's ever rapped yet.
One of these days, somebody's going to fall for it. Okay, so here's my story.
All right.
Ready? Ukrainian strongman uses beard, neck, and teeth to break world records.
All right.
Yeah, what that say then? So this dude's pulling stuff with his beard. He's got a beard, and he's like braiding it up.
When was this?
This was like a week or two ago.
March 11th. Don't the Ukraine have some stuff they need to deal with?
This dude's besides? He's doing it. He's doing it for the country. He says something like that in here. Like, I do this for the country.
Yeah, he needs to get a like machine gun. So and go fight for the country instead of doing these wacky...
Why do that when you could haul things with your beard? You could do that. So he broke three world records in one day.
All right.
Starting with the heaviest vehicle pulled by the beard, which I don't know why these are even categories. This is one of, but he did it, and he's got the new record. He...
Let's stop for a second. When I was a kid,
yeah,
you know, it's a minute. I know all the old jokes to stop right here.
Uh-huh,
there was like real world records. The tallest man, you know,
yeah, that's good.
The biggest pumpkin.
Uh huh. They still have that.
You know,
they didn't get rid of that.
But now they have the most.
Yeah, the heaviest vehicle pulled
stairs ollied by a midget.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, nothing against little people.
Or ollies.
Or stairs. But, come on. What are we doing here?
You're getting their name in the book. They're making history, man. That's what they're doing.
But I can just make something up and go, oh, this 5 foot of whatever.
It's true. That's
Laffy Taffy.
Yep, that's true.
That's a world record.
That is true, yeah.
I bet you the world record of Laffy Taffy is like miles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hey, Siri.
Go ahead, give it a goo.
What is the world record of the longest Laffy Taffy?
It's probably just Taffy in general. Laffy's a specific one, you know. Let's see.
Okay. 2016. 237 kilometers.
Oh, that's long.
Yeah, and it's almost 600 pounds. What are we doing, people? No wonder the world's going to crud.
They're making history, David. That's what they're doing.
No. Shout out to Siri. Siri, never mind. Go back to
bed. Yeah, we're done with that, Siri.
All right, anyways.
Well, let me tell you about this dude. So first off, he tried this before. So he's dedicated, okay? In 2019.
Wait, he failed the first time and then he worked out his beard? He was just like, okay.
Well, what happened was his beard got ripped out of his face. Oh. It wasn't strong enough.
Oh.
So this time
he put in the work.
Well, so this time he did these like different braids. He tried all these different braids to see which one gave him the strongest braids. So the first, just imagine that.
Okay.
Imagine the moment when you're trying to pull a car with your beard and then it gets ripped out of your face and you just go,
ah, maybe next year.
You just go, what was I doing?
I bet you it was the Viking braid.
It didn't say specifically which kind, but
because I can imagine the Viking braid is the strongest braid because Vikings are strong.
But so this is how much he pulled.
All right, go ahead. Yeah, I'm ready. More than Laffy Taffy.
5,687 pound minibus.
Okay, I was hoping it'd be some like Ukraine. Ukrainian military vehicle.
Yeah, he's pulling tanks into the battlefield
with his sideburns.
Yeah, one tank on each side. So the old record was 4,303 pounds.
Okay.
And he went to 5,687. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, more than 1,000 pounds.
And then the second.
Okay. Who was the first dude?
Yeah. But go ahead. Imagine pulling that just with your hands. That's a lot of weight. It's over a ton that you're pulling with your hands. And he said, I'll do it with my beard. And then it got ripped out of his face.
He watched the American World's Strongest Man. He goes like, ah! He
said, I can do it with my beard.
I can do it with my hair.
So the second one he did was, where'd it go? The heaviest vehicle pulled by the neck. Because, you know, he's like just yank. He's getting harnesses on his head and then just walking around pulling these things.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he hauled 17,107 pound truck for a distance of 16.4 feet.
With his neck. That's 10,000 pounds more than his beard.
Yeah. Well, again, the hair starts getting ripped out.
Needs to find a stronger break.
And then the last one that he broke was the most cars pulled with the teeth.
Okay.
Which, again, pull one car with your teeth or your hands. He's doing multiple cars.
How many cars?
With his teeth. So he managed to pull. So the total pounds in the vehicles with the driver sitting in it was 19,365 pounds.
With his teeth?
Yeah.
You know he can go right through a 12-ounce steak, right?
He ain't going to chew anything. So he said, I dedicated these records to my country and our soldiers. And that's
what? I bet you the soldiers are like, come on, brah.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Get out of here and fight with us.
Hey, he's doing his part. That's what he's got to do.
Yeah.
Some people can pull stuff with their teeth, and that's what you got to do.
I feel like this dude's an ex-felon for sure.
I don't know, but he's doing it. He can pull more stuff with his teeth than I can.
I bet you he can't vote.
You don't think so?
Nah. I feel like he's got some criminal history there.
I don't know. Ukraine's pretty.
Loose
with some stuff.
I bet you he has face tattoos.
I don't remember if he had a face tattoo. He's got a beard. That's for sure.
I feel like you can't do this without a face tattoo.
He probably does. He's probably got like three.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Speaking of face tattoos,
okay, you getting one?
I'm getting set. No, I'm not getting a face tattoo. That just reminded me of Mike Tyson and the whole him fighting
Jake Paul.
Jake Paul.
Bro.
How you feeling?
I don't know, but...
You feeling pumped?
I see some of the videos that Mike Tyson's releasing. If Jake Paul just gets hit by one... But there's a 30-year age gap, or 35-year... Like, Mike Tyson's about to be 60. He's 58.
What's up with this 60?
Yeah.
I know.
What's going on?
Next year, I'll be 60.
Ooh.
Everybody's turning 60.
I'm not there yet.
And I just turned 30, so... Take that.
Yeah, speaking of that, happy birthday.
I guess. Is it still happy birthday? It's the next month already.
I know, but we haven't. Have we had one of these since you turned 30? I don't think we have.
I don't even know.
When was your birthday?
On the 16th of February.
We might have.
Oh, yeah, because I kept being, I was gone. No, yeah, we did because we did, We did, because I was gone on
a
my
post
break.
Away.
I was
we did a
yeah,
post
yeah,
away.
Yeah,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Never mind then. You know. I'll take that back.
Take it back. Save it. I'll hold on to it for next year.
For next year. Okay. That way when I forget it.
Yeah.
I need to get you a birthday present.
You
get you a Christmas present.
We don't have to do that.
Something
do that.
For his beard.
Yeah, well, yeah. We got to get you some Viking braids.
Yeah. I need something to strengthen it up. Yeah. I don't know that I could pull.
I don't know, man. It's kind of, you know.
How many pounds do you think? I don't think you could pull anything with your beard.
No, I got, yeah, I got, this is, you know, when you get to certain age, they just fall out.
I got to trim mine up. I'm going to find
it. Have you seen my head?
Oh, yeah.
You know
no,
what
you
mean?
Ain't pulling anything with
me. No. This stuff is just hanging on. You know what I mean?
You got to get behind something and push it with your head.
Grow out a ponytail. That'd be the only thing I would have was just a ponytail.
Be the thinnest little ponytail.
It'd be like it would be like a 60-year-old biker. You know, just like this little whispers
in
the wind.
Yeah. That's in right now. That's in.
It is.
You get that and some hey dudes, and you're good to go, man.
I got plenty of hey dudes. Ponytail, here I come.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my goal. That's what's happening in the world right now. People are pulling
well,
stuff with their teeth.
I mean, like, if you ain't got nothing else better to do because you're locked up.
Yeah, that there you go.
You know?
Maybe he wants
maybe
to.
His motorcycle was broke down, because I feel like he drives a motorcycle for sure.
He just pulls it everywhere.
He just, like, pushes it.
Yeah.
Fred Flintstone?
Yeah.
Got my cartoons mixed up.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Charlie Brown. He's got a rock.
Do people know who Fred Flintstone is anymore?
I do.
I mean, we all do. I think a lot of people don't. That's probably
Where do you think it ends? After your generation? Because I feel like your generation was still holding on to some of the things, some of the culture
icons. I watched
icons.
Some Flintstone stuff. It was old when I watched it, but it was still kind of pop up here and there. So I watched some of it. I don't think it comes on anything anymore.
Yeah. Charlie Brown's still around because of Christmas and different things
like
that.
Yeah, you get the main big specials that come
out. Yeah, so.
People know those. And they got, you know, the soundtrack gets played. On,
so what else? Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo's still around.
They're still making that stuff, right?
That one's still around. I watched an old Scooby-Doo. It was probably like 8 months ago. Now.
Bro.
Still holds up.
It does, but you know what? It's kind of... I know, it's kind of creepy for a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, I'm watching these old things. I'm just like, my parents let me watch this?
Yeah. It needs a little bit of something like that to give it some substance to make it last.
Yeah.
If it's too kid-friendly, like, you're not going to watch Peppa Pig today and be like, this is a good show.
Yeah.
No, it's only good for four-year-olds.
What about you? What was the cartoon that you watched back in the day?
I don't know.
You didn't watch cartoons?
Oh, yeah. Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. Tom and Jerry.
That was a great one.
Oh, Saturday morning cartoons.
Tom and Jerry went woke, though, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think they just went woke.
Tom and Jerry I liked because they put it on at school before school started. So when you'd get there before school started because you rode the bus, you had to sit in the cafeteria until school started.
They'd
have the TV on, but they wouldn't have the sound on.
Right,
so Tom
right.
and Jerry was great because you didn't need the sound and you could still get the
What about the rooster and the little... The little bird and the big bird?
What's the name of that cartoon? Well, Foghorn's the name of the rooster.
Right.
What's the name of that show?
I don't know.
You're talking about the, I'll say.
Yeah. and the little ball-headed hunter? What was his name?
Elmer Fudd.
Elmer Fudd?
Was that just Looney Tunes?
That was Bugs Bunny.
That was Bugs Bunny. Yeah. That was Bugs Bunny.
West.
Yeah.
I guess it would just be Looney Tunes, right?
Yeah.
Because wasn't like Looney Tunes just had all the different characters.
And they would show up at each other's from time to time. They would cross.
Yeah, so it was just Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Classic
stuff. Back when, you know, it was wholesome.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. Wholesome.
I mean, come on.
Roadrunner.
They're just like murdering each other.
Yeah.
They're just dropping
things. Right? The Roadrunner's always trying to drop an anvil on the.
Elmer Fudd is trying to shoot
the
everybody.
Coyote, yeah.
Like, I mean, it's fine. I'm not like against it, but
what about
know,
the the one who had the basket picnic basket?
My picnic basket. That's Yogi Bear.
Yogi
or
Bear.
Was it?
Yogi Bear. Yeah.
My picnic basket.
Good old days. Good old days.
Having another 60-year-old moment here.
I was just thinking about, you know, Little David.
Yeah.
Little David.
What was the snack you'd eat while you watched Looney Tunes?
Probably peanut butter and something.
You're just putting peanut butter on stuff.
Peanut butter cracker, peanut butter and a spoon.
We're about to have a Bubba Gump peanut shrimp moment here.
Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter. apple jelly. Apple butter. See, I'm not. Listen,
I like.
I'm like a black coffee. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. I'm like peanut butter and jelly. No, don't throw the butter in it. Mm. You know what I mean?
What kind of jelly? You talking about grape jelly?
Apple jelly.
Oh,
apple jelly.
You're a freak.
When I was a kid,
apple jelly.
Apple jelly was a kid. Now we eat grape.
Yeah.
Because the kids.
Yeah.
That's what they eat. Well,
that's the classic jelly.
Yeah, but see, well, I was an apple jelly when I was a kid.
I don't even know where you got apple jelly. That's crazy.
Well, have you ever ate a ranch dressing on your spaghetti?
No, I'm not a freak, dude. No. I'm a human being.
Hey, it's actually not bad.
Yeah, well. See, is it better than, like, regular spaghetti with good spaghetti sauce? Is it better?
My dad used Probably to put not. Thousand Island.
That just sounds like
spaghetti.
That just sounds like stuff you do when you can't make spaghetti. So you just gotta just
my mom
throw.
Was a good cook, but you know.
Well, she was putting ranch on her spaghetti.
No, she wasn't. My dad.
Kids put ranch on their pizza. So
yeah. Oh yeah, ranch. You know what's better?
Weird. Not better than just regular pizza.
So sriracha.
Yeah,
that's good on pizza.
If I do go that. Mod, if you go to Mod, yeah, I do that.
Go to Mod Pizza.
Because Mod's a weird, you know, it's a little.
It's like, yeah. It's the Austin of pizzas.
It's
keep creepy. It weird.
Yeah, keep it weird. So yeah. If you're going to get weird, put some sriracha on there. You get it in before it goes in the oven. That way, like, it's baked in and it's not all messy.
Never had that.
Yeah.
I've always been a dipper.
I'm not a dipper. I want it baked in. I want to just pick it up and get
it. I can't do it anymore because... got an old man stomach.
Yeah,
and heartburn.
My old friend. He used to be a manager in Mod, so he taught me the
secret stuff. What they do after hours?
Yeah. Well, he just taught, he's like, this is what you want. You want the sriracha? That's a good.
Bro, I went to good call. I went to which one of the papas is? I told you, you would never know what we're going to talk about. which one of the papas is the seafood?
Papa Seafood. That was so great because it was genuine.
Really but isn't like the Mexican like Papa Do's?
No, that's called Papacitos. And yes, the Papa Do's, that's like a Cajun-y thing. So it does have seafood. But the one that's just straight up seafood is called Papa Seafood. Just like the barbecue one's called Papa's Barbecue.
Okay.
It's
So I went to the Papa Seafood yesterday.
Was that one with the seafood?
No kids.
Yeah.
Luke's off at band camp, you know.
Eating spaghetti with ranch on it.
On a band trip to Florida Universal and all the things. Noah went to a buddy's house last night until Santa. I said, let's go get some good seafood somewhere. And that's the closest good seafood to me.
Okay.
Unless you want to deal with, like, Kima, and that's too much traffic on spring break and all the things. Man, I ate so much.
What did you eat?
I had the fondue, the seafood fondue to start off with, you know? Mm. And then they brought us a whole loaf of bread for that, right? Yeah. And then she got the, we shared, I ordered fried shrimp.
Yeah, I haven't and she eaten today, ordered so this the, is getting me going.
She ordered the, what is the one, the shrimp that's wrapped in bacon and all that?
The bacon wrapped shrimp. Oh,
I was doing something.
You're making, you're faking this. This is a joke.
It's called something.
The shrimp brochet.
The brochet.
Because you could.
Oh, and
but
they,
the bacon wrap doesn't make it brochet. Brochet's the anyway.
It was a there was the brochet.
I get it. They usually wrap the brochet shrimp in anyway. Yeah, keep going.
Whatever it is, we ordered the brochet and we shared
you get the
two.
Bacon wrap shrimp.
And they had the most. It wasn't broccoli. It was broccoli.
Broccolini. Yeah, just like the tiny.
Oh my goodness. So good.
Had a good time.
Dirty rice on the bottom of the brochet. And they had the best sodas.
Oh, yeah?
There was something crisp.
Is it just the regular sodas, but is it, or do they have, like, what is it, like different, where it's not Coke products?
No, it was Coke products.
Yeah. you just think they're better there.
I don't know. There was something. I don't know if they have the. You know how McDonald's has its own taste of drinks or whatever, and supposedly that is exactly what Coke wants it to be or whatever. This was so crispy and so pure.
Sugar.
It was Coke Zero. So
it sounds
it was,
like you had a religious experience.
Oh, there. Man, it was pretty good, so... man. But we only ate like half of it. It was so much food, and I had heartburn all night long.
Well, look what you ate.
You're so 60. You're so 60.
Oh, and I started a new show last night, too, but we won't talk about that on here. It's R-rated, so I don't want to promote it.
You don't want to let anybody know? You're eating your bacon around the shrimp watch.
Yeah, Pastor David's got some issues. So.
He's got...
Just turning
well, I had Wingstop last night because it was wing night.
I can't
Monday
eat wings
night.
No more.
Ever?
Because he's 60.
Heartburn? Not even like the mild flavors?
I don't even eat like the hot ones.
Can you eat a chicken nugget?
Who eats chicken nuggets at 50?
No, dude, you're over. I don't know. You're over here eating apple butter. Apple.
No, I don't eat apple butter. Just regular apple. But that was when I was a kid. I don't. Just the fried food.
Anything
like that.
Fried.
Maybe that's why it was the fried shrimp last night.
Mm. Yeah, that'll do it. Can't do the fried.
Can't do the fried no more. Well, just because I normally eat like garlic, whatever garlic they have, and it's not normally like hot. You know what I mean?
The garlic parmesan.
So do you like creamy garlic or the garlic parmesan? What do you like best?
I usually do the garlic parm, not the creamy one, the dry one. Yeah, the dry one. I'm doing that one. But I'm a big just like classic wing kind of a guy. But
just a mild wing or hot?
No, go hot. Uh-huh. Come on, no. You gotta go hot. Get the hot. Buff.
Hot?
But at Wingstop,
what am I doing here?
This is don't worry. We're gonna get to you. But at Wingstop, their regular buffalo wings are not actually the best. Their best wing is the mango habanero. Ooh. You got to go mango habanero. At Wingstop. And then I like the barbecue one. Tara likes the Korean one.
The Koreans are good.
They're all right.
I thought that was the whole heartburn deal. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
It probably
this is where I come in. I'm the black coffee guy.
Yeah.
Is fruit with my, like, protein. You know what I mean?
You're saying you don't like
that. Nah.
You don't want fruit.
Not like fruit in your chicken salad.
Yes.
Well, your problem there is you're eating chicken salad.
I'm going to go to chicken salad chick
chicken
after
salad.
This.
No. Chicken salad.
Chicken. Have you ever been a chicken salad chick?
Why would I do it? It's a whole store full of trash food. You don't want chicken salad.
No, it's not. The food is good, but you will be sitting there with a bunch of old ladies.
I've done this before. Any salad that replaces lettuce with a condiment... is ridiculous and disgusting. You can't just get rid of the lettuce, put mayo on there, and be like, it's chicken salad. That's disgusting.
No,
they do that with the chicken salad. They do the fruit salads. They do any of these salads. Turkey salad.
I like chicken salad.
Uh-uh. It's not a salad.
No fruit.
Yeah, and then they put the fruit in there. No, just give me the chicken.
But it's like mango on your wings.
No, it's
Why
not.
Would you do a fruit on a hot week?
Because you get the
sweet and spicy.
And spicy.
What about fruit on the pizza?
It can be fine.
Nah.
It can be. Mm-hmm. It's not the first choice, but it's all right.
You know how I mean?
I'll tell you what, when I went to Hawaii, we got a nice fancy pizza one time. Actually, it was two times.
A Hawaiian
but this one
pizza?
Yeah, and we said, hey, we're in Hawaii.
You're in Hawaii, though.
I guess we got to do it. And it was amazing. Because they got the pineapples from the island. Yeah, like all that,
I can
you know.
See that. But you're being a part of the culture when you do that.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah, yeah. When I go to
do you think Hawaiian pizza is actually a culture, like from Hawaii?
I'm sure we made it up on this side. And then we put
I have no idea.
Like, we're doing Hawaiian pizza and you're going to like it.
I'm just guessing that Hawaii didn't just come up with pizza. That and then, no.
All right, so.
But maybe, I don't know.
What is your mod? This is my mod.
The mod pizza?
Yeah, I go all protein minus the anchovies.
So you. Chicken, all the different
all the
chicken,
proteins.
Pepperoni. Okay.
And then you put a little bit of mozzarella on top to lock it all in. That way when you eat it, it doesn't fall apart.
Yeah. Because you're dipping.
That's
so
a cheat code. That's a cheat code.
I like that. Yeah. This was mine.
Okay.
I do. It's been a while. I don't go that often anymore. But when I do, I get the regular red sauce, the regular pizza sauce, whatever the regular cheese is. And then I get pepperoni. I get whatever the spicy sausage is. I get bacon.
That's right there. That's Noah.
Right there?
Right there.
Done?
Noah. Yep.
Okay, done. Well, I get all that. Plus, I like jalapenos. Mm. I like the bell peppers. And then I get the Asiago cheese.
I'm going to sneeze.
Bless you. And again.
And then I put the sriracha on top before it goes in the oven.
You are
that's usually
Sandra, except she does the sriracha at the end.
So the exact same thing?
Yeah.
Oh, and I do onions. I left off the onions.
Oh, she don't do onions.
I like onions. I'm a good one.
No. What about you? What's your mod?
Let's hear it, Angie.
Because it's right down where I work.
Let's hear it.
I work here and Ma's here. Cauliflower pizza.
Whoa! Angie!
Hey, my turn.
Go ahead.
Chicken, spinach, garlic, basil, the cheese, of course, light cheese.
She's trying to eat healthy at a pizza place.
Hey, 40 pounds I've lost.
I hear you. Congratulations on that. Yeah.
My thing, like I said, I hardly ever go to Mod. But if I'm going to go, I'm going to do it. It's like eating ice cream or something. It's like I don't eat ice cream all the time. But when I do, I'm not going to get the low fat, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to get ice cream because that's what we're doing today, you know?
Well, no. I'm going to pat myself, I'm gonna pat myself on the back and then we're going to move on. Go ahead.
I like the crust. It's a thin cracker crust. It's not because the bread. I like the crust.
I like the bread.
Well, that's even crazier then.
Let's get to my story.
I'm gonna pat myself on the back. I've only had sugar one time since the fast has ended,
and that was that cookie the other night, or was it?
Yeah. So I'm staying off the sweets.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Notice any difference or what?
Yeah, I think it's like the afternoon crash.
Yeah.
I think
sugar levels are more.
Yeah,
normal.
It's more balanced, and you're not doing the whole roller coaster sugar thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm on a roller coaster, man.
You're on a roller coaster. All right. So let's jump right into. We've asked Angie what her favorite worship song is right now, and this is called "Worthy." This one's by Anthony Brown.
Yeah. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know.
You thought I was worth saving,
so you came.
So you
clean me.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is it's a prayer that we all can have, right? I mean, it's just something that as Christians, that's everything.
My story in a nutshell.
Yeah, very good. Well, let's jump right into it. We have Angie Barella.
Good job.
Been practicing that since you walked in.
It's true.
Y'all know my names, and maybe you've been listening to any time at all. I mess them up. But,
hey, you got it, though.
I got it. So Angie's been around our church for how long now?
I was just thinking about that with Pete. 20-something years.
Wow.
But the first time I came to Elam, 1999, I remember why too, and how I heard about our church. I was working at IHOP, and these two ladies came in, and I waited on them. And they said, "Have you received the Lord Jesus as your Savior?" And I was like, "Oh, God, they're them Bible thumpers on my table." And they ministered to me, and they brought me here.
They leave a good tip?
I don't remember. Probably they not. Tipped me Jesus. Right? And I came a few times, and then I went about my business. So going back when I was a little girl, I was abused as a young girl. I was sexually abused. So from that little girl to I got married at 15, always looking for somebody to save me.
Wow.
From my life.
15 years old?
When I got married.
Wow.
So 15, started having family between 15 and 25. I had 5 children. Me and my husband were married. And the drugs and alcohol came.
When did that start?
When my kid, I guess, late 20s.
Okay.
I don't even know how it got so bad. You know, you don't wake up one day and say, "Oh, I'm going to be a drug addict or an alcoholic." Even, not to say nothing about my dad, he drank a lot. My childhood wasn't normal family. It was normal to us. That's all we knew.
Right.
You know, my dad was abusive to my mom, and he drank a lot. I love him, but he was that. And I come from a broken home also. And then when you're little, you say, "I don't want to be like that." You know, you're going to be better for your children. You know, and I was like, but at 15, who gets married at 15? And I was a little girl trying to
I didn't even know have you could a family. Get married at 15.
You can't. My mother had to sign the papers. So wow. Here comes George.
But that was more common
back then.
Back then than it is
here
now.
Comes
now it's child abuse.
Yeah. George comes into my life. He's 18. I'm 15. And we thought we had to get married, you know, pregnancy. So we got married. And then we started our life. And then I got pregnant at 16. Had let there was going to be 17. And then from there, I was their mom. So then when the drugs and alcohol got bad, when we broke up, when the family broke up, it's a long story about that, but.
How old were you when y'all split up?
My 30s, about my 30s, so 35 maybe.
So you were married 20 years or so?
Yeah, we were married 20 years.
Okay.
Wow.
22 on paper before it was finalized. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing about that, I'll say. So I was a young mom. George took the kids to San Antonio with his mom, and I was the absent parent. You don't hear that from women a lot. They usually go with their dad. Mm-hmm. But I was young, and I didn't have a voice when I was little. That's what God showed me. So when he took them to San Antonio, in my mind, my warped mind at that time, my mother-in-law came and got them, and I said, "Oh, they'll be okay. She'll take care of them, and I'll get clean, and I'll get them back."
What kind of drugs at this time?
We did anything. It's both of us. Crack.
Wow. Was that the one that really tore it down?
Yeah, because it came to a point where you can't control it anymore. I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way you can control it. And I want it out. I remember a night of binging. I'm going to be real. I woke up one morning and said, I don't want this anymore. And I had been to church already. And I left. And it was a horrible breakup. I left my kids with George, my ex.
Now, when that happened, was he still doing drugs or he had
gotten clean? Yeah, we were both. Okay. No, we were like... So my mother-in-law came, took him to San Antonio. And that time, when he took him to San Antonio, he applied for assistance, and they looked for the absent parent, which I was the absent parent. And he told them I abandoned them, which technically I did. So I paid child support. He was custodial. I was non-custodial parent. But at least I get to see him now. Fast forward, you know, I'm going to San Antonio once a month to see my children, and George had them. But my two youngest, they were 10 and 11. They needed their mama, and I didn't know how to do that.
Let me ask you a question. I want to go back a little bit. And if you don't want to answer any of the things, just tell me. When do you think the issues of you being abused as a young girl began to make you make some decisions in your life that wasn't healthy?
From 15? I was promiscuous. You don't know. I mean, to be frank, when that part of you is taken from you when you're a little girl, that's where you get your love from. If I give them sex, they'll love me. Mm. So when George came along, it was... That part of me was not worth anything in my mind. And so just give it away. You know, what makes it sacred to you? What makes it valuable to you? Mm. There is none. So I just, even though I wouldn't want to, would just do it. Because so what? Everybody does it anyway to me. It's not valued. God has cleaned me up. That's why... My ministry is the women.
Yeah.
So I remember when I went to San Antonio and my kids were there in this raunchy motel, and they begged me, Pastor David, please don't leave me here, Mom. Mm. And there was nothing I could do. And I cried all the way down I-10. But now I cry to the Lord. I said, Lord, what do I do? It's the first time I heard the Holy Spirit, that sweet voice whisper to my ear, go to church, go to Elam. And the next Sunday, I came all by myself.
We've had very, very close of the same type of thing that happened to me. When I was in jail for the last time, my son, Josh, looked through the window. He was visiting and said, Daddy, I want to stay with you. And I didn't know how to make it happen. I was locked up. Even if I wanted to, you couldn't do anything,
can't
right?
Can't do nothing.
And I turned to God. I'm like, God, what is going on here? Like, why did you turn your back on me? And I heard God's voice. He said, I've been here the whole time. You turned your back on me. And the process of me coming back to him started right there.
I think the difference in that is that I didn't know. I knew of a God, raised Catholic, go to Catholic church, make your first communion, your confession, right. And all of that.
I was lucky I had the background.
I didn't have that, you know. We didn't go to church like y'all. I see the nieces, you know, they're your grandma, man, they had that, you know. Yeah. And I don't mean that y'all don't have problems, but we didn't have that
backup. Oh, he got
backup. Problems. Yeah. So... Here I am at Elam, 2001, 2000. I remember Y2K. It's funny you say that. And then I came to Elam, and I sat on the back row by myself, and here comes Sister Martha. And she loved on me.
Ramirez.
Martha Ramirez.
Awesome.
And they put me in Blessed Women. And then I wasn't I was the young one.
Now you're leading it.
Now I'm leading it, but I'm like, I tell everybody, when did I become Miss Angie? So them ladies loved on me.
Yeah. And this is why it's so important to get involved and don't just come to church, be a part of the church, because that's when your life begin to change. Yes. When you have people around you speaking into you and showing you what God looks like and what the love of God feels like and all those things through people.
Well, they told me all the time, they said, God can fix it. And I was so broken. I was like, how? Mm-hmm. He wasn't even real to me. The fact that I heard his voice, you know, he'd always been with me since the day, in the womb, mm-hmm. It says, right? But I didn't know him.
Yeah.
Now I know him.
Yeah.
And so things started to happen. I remember first scripture I ever memorized was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It was on the wall in Blessed Women. And they would just tell me God could fix it. But I didn't understand how. So every time the church was open, I was here. We went to ladies' retreat. Ladies' retreat. Blessed Women. God just put women around me, strong, mighty women of God. Mary Walker. Everybody.
Sister Barbara.
Irene. Sister Barbara, my mentor. Irene, been leading Blessed Women over 25, 30 years probably, pouring into women, broken women like me. But that's what God does. Mm-hmm. He cleans you up. That's why that song, so I could tell everything. Because God did it for me. He'll do it for you too.
That's
the
right.
Conference that's coming up. Mm-hmm. So things started happening. I would call them my coincidence moments. I said, what a coincidence. And the ladies would say, that's gone, Angie. I said, yeah. but I didn't know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But every time I went to a ladies' retreat, just pulling back layers, I remember telling Mary Jane, Sister Marla, Linda Brown, now what? Seems like every time God was healing me from something. It wasn't until when you're traumatized like a little girl, God has to heal, take you back to the trauma, back to the little girl. I remember telling the secret. That's a secret you don't tell. Mm. I remember when I told the secret.
Is this the first time you've ever talked about it?
Here?
No, as far as in your life.
Yeah.
It was with those ladies?
Yeah. Wow. I never told the secret.
Wow.
I was 40 when I told the secret to my mom.
Wow.
Because that was something that...
Man, you've been holding on to that for so long.
Bondage. Yeah. I was like, I didn't know. Who would I tell?
Right.
I was taught not to tell.
Yeah.
And so I started going to counseling because I didn't get smart on this on my own. And God would reveal things to me. I would get these revelations. I'm like, because it was my grandpa.
Right. And that's what the predators are, they live for you to hush, right? You mm-hmm. not to tell and all the different things. And
I realize hurting people hurt people.
That's right.
I told the counselor, what about my grandpa? What about my grandma? Did she know? What about my family, my aunts? My grandpa didn't wake up one day and say, oh, I'll think I'm a statue. Just like I didn't wake up one day and say, oh, I'll think I'll be an addict.
Right. That's good.
Satan used his tools.
Yeah.
He has the same tools. Why would he change it?
Yeah.
He knows what to use. He knows what's going to get you.
Pastor West says something during the convocation. He says that the enemy has the patterns of the church.
Yes.
So it's not like he's having to create new things. He already knows our patterns. He already knows where we're weak and we fail. And then he uses those areas,
Yeah.
And then even if you don't... Even especially outside of the church, like he knows those patterns. That's why
exactly.
Those drugs and alcohol are such a rampage through our country is because the enemy. It's not because they're available. It's because the enemy uses them, and through those things he gets that grip on you.
Yeah, and so as things started to happen, as things healing, whoa, that part about being 1 foot in the church and 1 foot, that was me. Nobody could hide my alcohol better than me. I'd come to Elam, sing hallelujah, praise the Lord, and go to the parking lot. Where am I going to get my margarita at?
Yeah. Yeah.
14 years back and forth. Had a boyfriend, you know, lived with him, and nobody knew, you know.
So are you coming, like, faithfully during those times?
I'm on and off, like, okay. 5 years with him and come back and forth. God never left me. I left him, yeah. Like you say.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to be good. I would say not to drink, but it was hard, you know. Because
you was doing it on your own.
Yeah, I was doing it.
You didn't give it to God fully.
I didn't give it. Yeah. So here comes, I told the secret, and then I started to heal. But I remember my sister, when I told the secret, I don't know if my mom, it's not that she didn't want to believe me, it was her dad. She couldn't, like, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
If I had 40 years, how long did that secret stay in our family?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I realized. So I am like...
That's wild.
My sister came, and she goes, I believe you, Angie.
You're the only one that you know of? Or you're
no,
the only
I
one?
Found my cousin.
Okay.
Because I asked God. I said, there has to be other victims.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a victim anymore. But I said that to God.
Right.
And he showed me.
Hmm.
He gave me my cousin. And drugs have plagued our family. But now I know why. Yeah, that big old generational curse. Just secret. Just that Satan used against us, you know. I remember my sister Rachel, she says, Grandpa used to chase us out the house. So I'm the oldest, then my brother Eloy, and then my sister Rachel. And then Monica and Mario comes later. But I said, but not me, right, Rachel? She goes, no, where was I? He came me inside, chased them out. That's why I tell my testimony, the little girl on the bed. That, how do you think I felt when they went outside and I was inside on the bed?
You just wanted to go play.
I want to go play.
Yeah.
But I got good news coming. So things started happening. And then I went to ladies' retreat in 2015. And I was 1 foot in, 1 foot out, not in ministry. And Sister Glenda, ladies' retreat. And I remember February I broke my ankle drinking Super Bowl. In my wedge heels, I remember telling all y'all I fell on my wedge heels. I went telling y'all it was Super Bowl party. None of y'all knew that.
Half of the truth.
Half truth. And so that was February. Still drinking on my crutches. It was crazy. August 2015, went to ladies' retreat. But before that, I'd pray. If I could only touch the hem of his garment, that was my prayer. I will be made whole. I will be healed. I didn't want it no more. Something had changed, you know, around that mountain again, just going around and going around. So Sister Glenda says to me, I went up. I remember she gave the altar call, and I went up, and Sister Glenda touched me, and I went down. And it was different. They were fighting. I believe Satan gives you a stronghold. One, he signs one to you. And that day, it looked like my mom says she was scared. It looked like I was having a seizure. But what it was is they were fighting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom touched me and it broke. And I went to the room and I could feel him. I could feel him in the room. And I started to pray, and I started, God reminded me all the times he was there during my ladies' retreat, doing that thing. And I started singing, Jesus, you're the lover of my soul. And I fell asleep. When I woke up the next morning, I made a beeline to Sister Glenda. I said, do I have an evil spirit? Because I feel him. She said, yeah, and he's generational.
Mm.
She said, Angie, God is telling me he's not playing with you no more. Choose. Deuteronomy 30:19, I paraphrase. Choose life or death, blessings or cursings, that you and your generation may live. And it's not about me. And I said, well, I don't know where he's at, but he can't come. I don't want him anymore. And all I needed was to get permission. So the next night, so that afternoon, Saturday night comes, and I don't feel him anymore. And I go to Sister Glenda, and I said, I just want to make sure he's gone. And yeah. Down I went again. And I felt this peace all over me. And I said, the Lord said, alcohol shall not touch your lips. And wow. I haven't drank since.
Wow.
8 years, 6 months, I don't know, 3,000. So I came home. And I put it on Facebook, because you know you put it on Facebook, it's got to be true.
It's right? Official.
It's official. 30 days, day one, day two. And all I did was pray for God not to, for God to help me not to drink. 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. And the ladies would ask me, how many days, Angie? And I could tell them to the day. And then one day I didn't need my app no more.
Mm.
8 years. 2016, give me King's Daughters.
Wow.
I remember, 2018, I think. I went to mission trips. I went to Mexico. I'm going to tell you about the little girl. So, 2016, I went to Mexico, and Pastor Mark was there. And there was a little girl who looked just like me. You have to heal your trauma. It's not easy. I cried. I'd say the tissues from Elam Church, my ties go to probably them because I've used so many of them. I tell the ladies, I used to tell them that. And a box on my roll.
Well, they say, you know, broken people, hurt people, heal people, heal people.
Yeah.
You know?
So I went to Mexico with Doc and Pat and found some little dresses. I should have brought my little dress. And some flip-flops. And I said, can I take some of these dresses across? And we went across to Mexico. And there was a little girl. And I knelt down and I put the dress on her. And I put the little flip-flops on her. And she smiled at me. And I told her, qué bonita. And she ran off, and the Holy Spirit said, now run outside and play.
Mm.
He took me off the bed in Mexico.
Wow.
And I haven't stopped yet.
Wow. Wow, it's so powerful. Man. I got
Pastor chill Mark, bumps. It was like, and I've been free. Yeah. So then here comes King's Daughters. Mary Jane says, oh, you need to be the leader for the King's Daughters. I said, I can't be the leader. Like, are you crazy or what? And that's where we're at now, King's Daughters, and then U2 Conference.
Yeah. I mean, let's stop there for – you said you started going to therapy.
Mm-hmm, at CT Church.
So
– no, Sagemont.
Sagemont. How instrumental was that in your healing?
Because I could just lay there, and the Holy Spirit would reveal things to me. So amazing. What about this? What about that? Things that I didn't know that were buried deep inside.
Yeah. And then just have that professional there to walk that through.
And
right?
And I remember her name, Miss Brown. She was like, and she would just sit there and listen to me.
Yeah.
When nobody else would listen to me.
Yeah.
I didn't have a voice for such a long time. Finally, the secret, the burden. The enemy didn't have that hold on me no more.
Yeah. And I think, and we've talked about this before, and I really think that, we go to the doctor for our physical body, we go to church for our spirit, but for emotionally, we need to go to therapy, too, you know?
Yes.
And therapy, especially in the Christian thing, is like, oh, God can heal it. God can heal it. Well, God can heal it, but when we say God can heal, you know, our cold, we still go to the doctor to get some cold medicine. You know
right.
what I mean? And in church, it's always been mental
health
is one of those things that that's really been kind of something that we look, you know, sideways to. And so I think it's good for people to hear that was a part of it. You know, that wasn't the only thing, but God used that also, especially when you go to a good godly therapist, you know.
Yeah.
That they can guide you and walk you through those parts. So I just wanted to touch on that for sure.
Yeah, that was some of the best healing that I. Yeah. Then when he healed the little girl, that was such a release to me. That once I ran outside and played, and I went to Honduras. Mm. I've been to the mountains of Honduras, the beaches of Belize.
Wow.
But then I came home.
That's the playing fields.
Yeah. Oh, because man. I came home and I want to go on a mission trip again.
Yeah.
And he said, your mission field's your backyard. Wow. I said, yeah, but got weeds. You live in Pasadena. All around you. And that's how God loves me do it. Like, and so I start, and that's where he gave me King's Daughters, the leader. And then the U2 conference, I remember.
So it wasn't until that you got to go out and play until God began to give you things, right?
And I had to be obedient.
Yeah.
He said, alcohol should not touch your lips. I know the day. Should I choose to drink or something happen, that first sip, that enemy would come back. He's gone. The only way we have power over him, the only way he can come back is if I allow him.
Yeah.
Because God would take him away from me all them years that I struggled, but I'd bring him back.
Yeah.
Every time I take a drink.
Yeah.
It's not about me no more.
I was talking to a gentleman that he texted me yesterday. He was just like, hey, can you call me? It's kind of an emergency or kind of important or whatever. And then he was telling me that, man, I never wanted to get so far in ministry because I knew the enemy was going to bring up my past. And I don't want to make Elam look bad, or I don't want to make my family look bad. And I'm just like, you have the power over that. You know, it's, the Bible says by the word of our testimony, there's power by the things that you went through, you know, and that's what gives Sandra and I the ability to speak into so many marriages, is because our marriage wasn't always great,
exactly.
You know, and I began to tell him, I said, that because you are advancing in ministry, now the enemy is going to come and try to stop it. You have the power to either let him in by, you know, entertaining some of the thoughts of the past, or you freedom over it, you know? And I think that's a lot. You know, people are just like, oh, I don't want the enemy. If the enemy's coming in, you're doing something right. He's trying to stop something good.
Exactly.
You
know?
And you have the ability to either let him in or let him out.
He didn't mess with me when I was in the world.
Yeah.
Like, he messed with me. I don't know why. I was doing what he wanted.
Yeah.
He knew God would use me. And so I got to keep that little girl bound on the bed. Free. I'm free. So here comes U2 conference. We're looking out the doors of on Ritchie Street. And the Lord says to me, gather all the women. And I said, I can't do a conference. I was writing it down. He was just speaking to me. Some people are going to go out to the street to minister to the crack addicts in the house where they party and everything. He said, you won't go there. They'll pull you in before you pull them out, the Holy Spirit said. Gather all the women and bring them here. Elam, a refreshing oasis in a wilderness of sin. That's why Pastor Ron couldn't move us from here.
Can you imagine what this community would be like without this church?
Right.
Without a cornerstone being here in this community.
Yeah.
Like, we don't realize it, but the fabric of this church is embedded in this community. And then when you take that away, it becomes a vacuum, right? And what happens when a vacuum comes in is like all this negativity and different things. So
here we go, U2 conference. And I don't know what I was doing, but I got and... The more, and we're going 6 years this year.
Wow.
Our sixth U2 conference, right?
I remember you coming to me in the first one going, oh, my God. I don't know what I did.
Sandra was the MC because I couldn't be the MC.
You wasn't even bold enough to stand up there.
And stand up there and be MC. And then the next year, I knew. God says, Sandra, I'm not doing the MC. You are. And Sandra came. You're doing. I said, no. But now I'm like, now I go to the prison. I go to the women's prison in Dayton with Sister Glenda. And when I go there, I don't even have... I just open my mouth and God comes out.
Yeah.
He'll give me something in the middle of the night, and I'll just... Because it's what that person needs. And I go to the one in Dayton. Yeah. Why?
Hey, Angie, I've been preaching for 20 years. Okay? And I've never once did that. I've always had to have notes.
I can't.
And I'm so jealous of you. I'm so jealous of some of these people that can do it.
You're not supposed to be jealous, right?
I know. You know what I mean. Not in a negative way, but I just wish I could do that. But you know, Lord, He uses all of us different. But, like, man, it's so awesome for you to be able to just trust God and walk into a facility. Just because being in prison, it's got its own differences than walking into, you know, a sanctuary. Yes, you know what I mean?
So go ahead.
When you walk in, when I walk in, and all them women are there, they're me. I'm them. Mm-hmm. Only by the grace of God, I didn't end up there. Yeah. Not because I didn't drive drunk or doing drugs. Just, I don't know why God's grace. That's all I have to say about that. But I tell them the truth, because here's the thing, they're bound. Like me, Sunday we had a great deliverance on Sunday.
Yeah,
and she grabbed me like this. I was telling Petey, that's my sister-in-law, y'all. And I know what it is to be her. Want to stop, bound, and I saw the enemy in her, that was in her. When you're bound like that and you see no way out, she held me so tight. I was like, if I help one, the one that's in prison, they have bars, but there's a bigger prison, the one that was in my mind, the one that kept me bound. If I just help one, doesn't only change it for them, but their whole, who's taking care of their children while they're in there, I tell them. Everything I do now, I could do it for me. I do it for, well, God first, but for my children and my children's children. Drink it. I'm the Mimo now.
Yeah.
They're never going to know a beer with me with a beer in my hand.
Tell them about the story of where you used to sit and now where you sit in the sanctuary.
The what?
The section that you sit in. That you used to sit somewhere else, right?
So, Sister Barbara and my
Speaking
man
of your children Gina, and children's children.
Yeah, my right there where Sister Barbara and Gina sit, right in front of Pastor. To the left, there's that section that I sit in now. And I claim that section for my family, but I sit with Barbara and Gina, right? I was sitting there. And then, okay, so it's Malachi's 10. He was getting dedicated, and I was sitting in this section, and the Holy Spirit said, you don't even sit in faith. How am my family going to come out and sit there? I told Sister Barbara, oh, I got to sit in my section. And I sit there. That's James. That's why I sit there. In that seat, but in the back, underneath, all my kids' names are written there.
Oh, wow.
Because one day, they'll sit there. Sometimes I get desperate, and I'll say, I don't even care if they sit in that chair, as long as they sit in the chair. I tell God, okay, God, because Philip's going to Inspire Church.
Okay.
And my other ones, they're coming, you know. I'm like, and I'm gonna have my grandkids and everything. And that's what I tell the ladies. I give them hope that you have to choose it. Yeah. Do you want to be well? I preach, do you want to be well?
Yeah. It's just a step of faith that you took for your family. You know, Pastor Ron said something in our staff meeting this morning. He said, we're talking about the prophecy and everything that was going on with Pastor Ron. And he goes, listen, he told Pastor Ron and told all of us because the prophecy was about the church, not just Pastor Mark. But he said, look, don't get in your head. This is the way God is going to do it. You know, if your kids are sitting at another church and another chair, it's because of that chair that you put their name on, right?
Yes.
It doesn't have to be the way you assign them seats. You assign them to the kingdom, not to a chair.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I just said in faith.
That's right. So you took that step of faith. So if they're not coming to Elam, I got kids, man, I would love them to come to church with me. But they found a home somewhere else.
Time is short.
And hey, if God can save my son and put him in some other church, and hey, I'm good with it, you know? So we just gotta know that it might not look exactly like that we want it to look, but you took a step of faith and you assigned them to the kingdom. So
yep.
That's good.
And I trust the Lord.
That's right.
He says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
So You're doing King's Daughters. You're doing the women's conference. It's called U2. Mm-hmm. Well, I always used to get it confused with the what was that other thing that was going around?
Me too. But see,
that's I was just like, dang, man, she gonna start canceling all of us men around here.
No. Well, I'm gonna tell you because we didn't have a name for it. The first one, we didn't have a name for the first one, and then I had my King's Daughters team. I said, we need a name for the conference. And Amanda Brown, she was like, we're thinking of names to call it. And she said that. You know how they have the Me Too movement? How about you two? If God did it for me, he'll do it for you too. Yeah. And that's where that came out.
That's so good.
Yeah, because God, he'll do it for me. And that's why I tell them at the prison. And they'll cry and they'll come up and they're me. How many times did I cry and say the sinner prayer again and rededicate my life? But you have to be all in. You have to be. And I see God working. But now the time is short. Like, yeah. And it's like I have a burden. I did pray. I told Sister Barbara, I prayed for God to break my heart for what breaks his. Mm. And on Sunday, I was her. She was me.
Yeah.
And the enemy had her bound. I was so mad.
For a lot of you that don't go to our church, because this is all over the world, but we had a lady that came in, and she had a spirit in her, you know, and
the drugs too.
Whatever it was, the Lord began to deliver from that stuff. She began to throw up on the floor, and spirits begin to release, and those type of things, and that's your heart. That's your heart when you're saying, you know, let your heart be broken for what his is broken. It's for broken people, you know. I would ask you, what would you say to a young Angie today? What would you say to a 20-year-old Angie?
I didn't know Jesus. I always say to tell a secret. It's okay to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's okay to let everybody know. That's the secret is where it keeps you bound. It's okay. Yeah, I was my earliest memory, I gotta be like 5. All them years that I was just looking for someone to save me. It's okay to go and tell. When you tell, you'll have freedom. And it's not easy.
Yeah.
I've dealt with so much hurt over the years. My kids have forgiven me. The fact that my ex-husband, that we can get along now, that's forgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgiveness goes a long way for my kids to see that bitterness. And I just would tell her, tell the secret.
I think that's so important you know, there was a time in my life that I was praying for my relationship, you know, and I was just like, okay, God, there's like, you got to step in, you know, this is not going to work. And, you know, he revealed to me, he said, you need to start praying for your ex-wife. And I was just like, God, you got me tripping. Like, I don't even like this woman, much less pray for her, you know, but I began to pray for her. And, you know, we still... I don't want to hang out with her. You know what I'm saying? But the communication is open, but I begin to pray for her. And because of me being obedient to God, God began to put my relationship with Sandra and I into an amazing place.
Yeah, because blessed women would tell me all the time, you have to forgive George. I said, if one more of you Christian women tell me how I'm supposed to forgive this man, I'm going to throw my Bible at you. That's funny. Don't you think I know that? I said, do you know what he's done to me? When you know the truth, mm-hmm. sets you free.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. Sister Barbara told me the truth. You abandoned your children. I said, no, but I didn't have a choice. I was the always, woe is me, woe is me, but I didn't have a choice. No, Angie, you had a choice. And that's what I preach. We all have a choice. It's not easy, but it's possible.
Right.
The song, so I can tell everyone, you know, it's possible, but it's hard work. Mm-hmm. And he'll save you. He He'll save you. He'll save one from every family. And it might be you. And I said, well, I got to be Moses, because I called you to be Moses, to lead your family out of bondage, to lead them women out of bondage. All that hurt that you've had, I tell it to everyone. And I'm going to keep it secret. He gave me a voice. Now I have to use it to help the other women get free.
Yeah.
Not only for them, but for their children.
What would you say to the, you know, for the ladies that are scared to tell the secret, and they tell the secret, but people don't believe them?
My mom didn't believe me, I don't think, at the first. Maybe she did, but she didn't want to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
It wasn't for her. Who cares if they believe you? Once I told the secret, it didn't matter if she believed me or not. It freed me.
So good.
You have to keep telling. You have to keep to someone that will listen. When you're 4 years old or 5 years old, who are you going to tell?
Yeah.
When you're 40 years old, you tell the secret, and so what if they don't believe you?
Yeah.
You keep telling them. You look for someone. You look for a church. You look for a mentor. You look for someone. God has placed someone in your life. He always gives you a way of escape. Just like Sagemont Church. Just like the women of Elam. Mighty women of God. I'm sure they all have a story like mine. I don't make excuses anymore. I tell the secrets. There's nothing that secret in my life so the enemy can use it. I tell everybody, I tell the truth. Am I perfect? Nope, I'm not in heaven yet.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not there yet. But I try. I walk the walk.
Yeah.
I try. And the young girls, I want to show them how worthy they are, how valuable they are, because the world will tell them they're not valuable. That part of you is not valuable. It is. That part of you is saved for your husband when you get married. But the world say, oh, no, it's just, you could just give it to anybody.
Right.
And I say, no, you're valued. I know how valued. I know how worthy I am. Worthy is the word for 2024. Do you know how worthy you are? We're worthy because he's worthy, because he died on the cross. But when you know your worth, things will change. Chains will be broken. Curses will be broken. And your family will see. Now my family sees me. There's a tissue, James. Mm-hmm. Now my family sees me and they're proud of me.
Mm.
Yeah.
They don't see. They remember. I told the ladies in prison. I preached on Mother's Day. My kids don't remember the young mom. They remember the mom that did drugs. Because why? Because that outweighed when they were little and I was not an addict. And then I was like, I told George, how do you think I feel? When you were working, I was their mama. I was there. I changed their Pampers. So God took me to the prison. And it was Mother's Day, and how do you think them ladies felt at Mother's Day? And I said to them, your kids are not going to remember this Mother's Day. You know what Mother's Day they're going to remember? The one when you got out and you make better choices for them.
So good.
Because my kids, although they don't remember that mama, I was still that mama.
Yeah.
But now they know this mama, and my grandkids know this mama. And I'm going to stay this mighty woman of God. Because as long as I'm obedient to God, he's got my family. Yeah. I believe him, because he's not a man, he shall lie.
Yeah. What do you think the turn was from being Angie to Sister Angie? The one that was being mentored down to the one that's mentoring.
So that's what I said. I was like, so I came here worldly, Angie. And then I got saved and I became Sister Angie, young Sister Angie. And then I was like, the young girls now, they see me, they see Miss Angie. But they don't know the worldly Angie. They only see Miss Angie now. Hey, Miss Angie. Mm-hmm. And the foyer, all over the foyer, they're like, Miss Angie, Miss Angie. No. Cassie and all the young girls.
Yeah.
And even the younger women, the 30-year-old, the 20-year-old, like I was,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't always Miss Angie, y'all.
Right.
That's why I tell my story. Because y'all think that I just bloomed up like Miss Angie? No, Miss Angie came with a price.
Yeah, so good.
And then now, when I see them, I'm happy to be Miss Angie.
Yeah.
It's okay that I'm Miss Angie, even though I'm 59, going on 60. I came when I was 30, 40, and now, 20-something years later, look what God has done.
Yeah.
Not me, but Christ in me.
Wow, that's so good.
Yeah.
That is so good. What are you looking forward to in ministry? Like you have all these great things that you're doing, but like what is the thing that you're like, God's like stirring up on the inside of me?
Since Sunday, I ask God, now what? He showed me that I had gotten complacent.
Showed me? He said you're going to take over the children's ministry.
No, he did not. He knows that. No, I'm not. Or the kitchen. I had come complacent, like that's all I asked him. But Sunday, something happened. Sunday, with her, with the young lady.
Mm-hmm.
Free the women. Help the women know that I am real, that I am free.
Because
when she hugged me, she hugged me for dear life. Was it her or was it the spirit? The spirit wasn't hugging me.
Yeah.
He didn't want nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
She just hang on to me. It's like she was crying out, help me, help me. And I took her to Sister Glenda because you know Glenda going to beat the crap out of the enemy. She don't play.
Yeah.
But you know what I saw? I saw the enemy inside. I've seen mine. God showed him to me. He's ugly.
Yeah.
He drools. He's got red eyes and he's got a snout.
Mm.
Because when I was being abused, I was being devoured and God took my grandpa's face away and showed me the enemy behind.
Mm.
He just wanted to hurry. That's why he drools. That's why he's like that. And hers, I could see when she went down. And that's my ministry now, to help whoever comes in to get that bondage. The enemy, I don't know if I can say this, he pisses me off.
Come on.
He makes me so mad.
Yeah, be real.
I get so... On when she got freed and the joy came over her, I had to run outside because I was grateful that I wasn't in bondage anymore. And I had run outside and my hands were shaking and my thing. Was I mad? Was I grateful for God to setting her free too? One at a time.
Yeah. Wow.
Or all of them at one time at the YouTube conference, all of them.
Yeah.
Whether it's one or 10 or 200, all of them free to change it for their next generation.
That's so good. It's important to remember that when she grabbed you, she wasn't grabbing Angie, Sister Angie, you know, Miss Angie. She was grabbing a lifeline.
Exactly.
And that's why she didn't want to let go. She was just like, okay, I know whatever this is right now, it feels like it can save my life right now. And we have to be prepared as Christians to be somebody's lifeline, you know?
Yes.
And we have to, like you were saying earlier, we can't be complacent. We can't be in a place where it just doesn't matter, because at some point somebody's going to grab us because they're going to need life. And we are the hands and feet of Jesus.
That's
you know,
it.
We have to be prepared to walk it out and to talk it out and to live, you know, side by side with people to give them their freedom. It's not that we're giving them their freedom, but it's God using us as, you know, vessels to free people.
What would happen if those ladies from IHOP wanted to never come in to my life? You know, I never found them.
Wow.
I looked for them when I came back. You think God sent them to me, angels or whatever, or what happens in 1998 or 99 if I never would have met them ladies? Mm-hmm. Where would I be?
Yeah.
Where would my children be? He puts you people in your life.
Yeah.
Divine appointments.
That's right.
Not coincidence.
Pastor was talking about that with Pastor Hill, right?
Yes.
He would get lost, but it wasn't him getting lost. It was God putting him in places and him just be willing to be lost. You know, and I think that's a message title, Be Willing to Be Lost. Mm. Wow.
Write it down.
Man, I'm telling you.
I don't have to write it down.
You know, I need notes. all right. Thank you for coming. Leave us with something. Leave the ladies out there with something that, you know, has been on your heart that that you think that they might need in the season.
I think I'm going to pray for them.
Okay. Very good.
Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you send divine appointments to free us. I think if we just look and stay open, that you will put people in our life, such as those ladies, such as the women of Elam. Lord, I ask you right now to use me to help, to lead them to you, the one that can set us free. It's not nothing I do. Use me. Use the Elam Church. For those living around the world, look out for someone, for a lifeline, because God is real. Because if he did it for me, he can do it for you too. I thank you, Lord, that I am your willing vessel. I thank you, Lord, that you saved me. Like the song thing, that I was worth saving. So you came to change my life. So I could tell everyone I know. Speak freely to everyone that will listen. Tell your story. Because just like me, there's others out there. I thank you, Lord. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for saving me, for me and my future generation. And if you did it for me, you can do it for them too. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Know that you're worthy. Tell somebody and go outside and play.
Amen. Run outside.
Amen. All right. Amen. And we love you.
This is The Refuge Project.